everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, my dear, and welcome back, everybody, to the show. Telephone number when you hear somebody drop off is 866-444-3478, and we're going to go straight to the phones because people have been holding too long. This hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor stuff, the Dirt Doctor information, my books, the free weekly newsletter that we have that you get by filling out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Facebook, facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. All of the videos on YouTube. The library that's on dirtdoctor.com where everything is in alphabetical order. And the Texas Organic Research Center, which is the 501c3 not-for-profit corporation that we're involved in working with. The Organic Club of America is the final thing. It is the one area of the website that does cost a little bit. It's the members only and gets you a little bit more. We've got some new videos and new things going on there just recently, as a matter of fact, that I think you will really enjoy. I did some slideshows of two really unusual museums that I think you'll like seeing my photography of. One we did before, we did an update of it, and it's such a cool place. It's Crystal Bridges in Arkansas, and the other is the Hearst Castle. William Randolph Hearst's house in California. It's just an amazing place. So check those out. You have to be a member to see them right now. We'll make them public later on. But for right now, the Organic Club members get first dibs on seeing that. Okay, and Jane has been holding forever. Thanks for your patience in Garland, Texas. Hi, Jane.
Good morning. I'm a constant listener. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
I have a lovely lacy oak. I think some people call them a white oak. That has just, it's been in the ground for 5 years, and it's just taken off like crazy this year. I don't know if it was because of the rain or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to propagate another tree from it, so I'd like to know what's the best way. Should I wait for the acorns, or if I cut off a low-hanging branch, is there any way to root that branch?
Well, let's talk about that. Lacy oak is one of my favorite trees, Jane. White oak is a completely different tree, so don't get let's make sure we're talking about the right plant. Is yours kind of has a little bit of a pastel tint to the leaves in the spring when they first come out, and there's a kind of an interesting fuzziness to it, and then the leaves are kind of a blue-green?
Yes, that's what I've got.
Okay, that's lacy oak.
And
white oak,
the limbs all grow upwards.
Okay. The white oak, Mexican white oak specifically, is another one of my very favorite trees. In fact, we have both of these trees in our front yard at our office. The Mexican white oak is almost an evergreen here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Lacy oak can be propagated from the acorns. It seems to take the lacy oak several years. Ours is about now, I don't know, 5-inch caliper tree, and it's 20-something feet tall and about that wide, I guess. And I haven't had viable acorns produced on it yet. So I think it takes a certain number of years for the acorns to be viable. When they do become viable, they'll germinate and grow like crazy, and it'd be easy to grow that way. You can do stem cuttings from trees, from hardwood plants. It's a little more difficult. There's a professional grower, a growing operation in Georgia that grows everything they grow, from hollies through all kinds of oaks and maples and elms and everything that they grow. Every plant they grow from stem cuttings. So people will tell you that you can't do stem cuttings on a hardwood tree, you know, aren't quite up to it. But it's harder. It's a lot harder to do than, you know, doing a perennial or a succulent plant, you know, a herbaceous plant. Timing is the key. And so if you want to try to do stem cuttings, what you'll need to do is experiment, because I haven't done it enough to tell you exactly what the best timing on that plant would be. That growing operation in Georgia might be able to. It's called, what's the name of it? Drawing a blank. Athens. No, it's not it. I'll think of it in a minute, and I'll throw it on the air. But what I would suggest that you do is take cuttings now, and the cuttings ought to be like I was talking to the last caller about the Rose Rosette and telling her about propagating and saving her 100-year-old rose. You do the cuttings about the same way. Take an 8-inch cutting of the youngest growth. It's hardened off enough at this point, and leave the leaves on the end of it, strip all the rest of the leaves off, put some saliva on the cut. That's a natural rooting hormone.
Okay.
And plunge it into either perlite or organic potting soil and see if you can get the thing to root. If you set up perfect conditions, high humidity, mist the cuttings from time to time, keep that medium real nice and moist, not sopping wet and anaerobic, but nice and moist, you can probably get some cuttings to root. The second time you try it is in the spring after the new, well, two times. One would be at bud swell, late winter, early spring, when the buds are swelling, but before they've broken.
Okay.
Try it at that time. And then the other time to try it would be after the new growth has emerged and it has started to, the leaves have grown out to be their full size, and it has right when it has first hardened off. Those three times, one of those three will probably work for you better, and you'll be able to root your tree. And that gives you a clone. That gives you exactly the same tree.
Oh, okay.
If you wait and grow from acorns, as we say in Texas, you won't have a clone. It'll depend on who, you know, which trees propagated which trees.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go take a cutting right now and see what I can do with it.
Give it a whirl. And we do have some information on our website in the library. You can check on that and get some other ideas, too.
All right. Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Jane. And, again, thanks for your patience, along with you, too, David in Red Oak. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Garrett.
Yes,
sir. Happy Labor Day.
Well, same to you.
And, I purchased a piece of property. It's basically an old hayfield, and I'm trying to grow some fruit and nut trees, get a little orchard going.
Good.
And I see a lot of tree trimmings, branches that are cut off and logs and whatnot on the side of the road that people have cut off. And I'm wondering, should I collect those and grind them up and work them into the soil? Would that help to build the soil?
Yes and no. What I would do is collect them and put them out just like they are, not go to the trouble of grinding them up smaller.
Okay. Is there anything else I should do before I actually put the plants in the ground to help build the soil for the next season?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do to speed up the process, David. Putting the mulch, the ground-up tree trimmings out on the surface across your entire property is the single best thing you can do, especially for the money, because you can get it basically for free, and just the labor to move it over, you know, from one place to the other. And there's very low possibilities that mulch is contaminated with herbicides and things like that, you know, because most herbicides are sprayed on the turf, not on, you know, up in trees and things. So the chances are pretty good that it'll be clean material. The only time I'd be careful about that, I was coming to the studio here one time a couple of years ago, actually, and I noticed these big piles of mulch like you're talking about on the side road, and I thought, man, I might even pick up a little bit of that myself. And then something dawned on me. I saw where the mulch came from. It came from the trees that had died around a utility area. It was a transfer station or whatever, you know, the gravel inside and the electrical equipment inside, and they use tremendously powerful herbicides in those things to kill the weeds in the gravel around all the electrical equipment and everything. So probably what had happened was the herbicides had translocated and killed the trees around it. And so if you ever saw mulch that was near something like that, you would want to probably avoid it. The other things you can do to improve the soil besides the mulch is put out compost, organic fertilizer, rock minerals like lava sand, cornmeal, and dry molasses and sugars like that. Depends on what your budget is. Let me put you on hold and see if you had something else off the air, and I'll be back with everybody else right after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Don't go away. I'll be back. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to DirtDoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth:
Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. One of the listeners sent me a very good photograph of something a lot of people have asked me about. It's mealybugs, this white stuff on the foliage of trees. It's kind of a powdery looking. It's a little sticky feeling if you touch it, but it's mealybugs. It's a form of aphid. And it, a lot of people have been asking me about it. I think it came from maybe all the heavy rain followed by the intense heat and stress, in other words. It's a stress-related insect. It can also come on to plants that have been subjected to herbicides. We've seen it on ranches and farms and help some people with it by simply getting them to stop using herbicides, especially pre-emergence and, well, just herbicides in general, and then spraying the tree with Garrett juice as the base and 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon of spray. Mealybugs is one of the things that's controlled very easily with that simple combination. I'll put that on my Facebook, this photograph, and the information and a link to some of the control techniques that I was just referring to there. But basically is get the tree healthy. Sick tree treatment, you know, would be the best thing long term, of course, especially if the trunk flare is not exposed. But stop using the herbicides, spray to kill the mealybugs with Garrett juice with orange oil added. That's the way to go. Now back to the phone. Let's see who's been holding. Richard's been holding a long time. And Denison, what's up, Richard?
I used to be eating up with chiggers all the time when I'd go out in the field. But now, since 30 years ago, the fire ants moved in, I don't get chiggers anymore.
That's right. That's one of the good things about fire ants. You're exactly right.
So I don't try to kill them in the yard and out in the field and the woods. They pretty well take care of the ticks that used to get on the cows.
That's right.
And they pretty well eat those up. And so I kind of I can see a fire ant coming, but I can't see a chigger.
That's right. No, you got a good point. The fire ants do have that beneficial side. The secret is keeping just enough of them around to where they don't kill wildlife and hurt electrical equipment and, you know, be too much of a problem for people. I think the organic program, without doing any specific treatment, keeps the level way down but still leaves enough of them to help you with the pests. I think it's a really good tip.
I put diatomaceous earth in my air conditioner to keep the fire ants out of there.
Be careful with that. We had an electrician tell me this, give me this warning. I had done that myself in the past, and he said that any kind of liquid spray like biowash or dusting powder like natural diatomaceous earth, if you do it over a period of time, it can get into the equipment and cause some problems. So, yeah, be a little bit careful with that. What's a better way to go is using baits outside the electrical equipment that will attract the ants and kill them. One of the baits you can make at home that works, seems to work pretty well, that I've played around with. Well, two different things. One is a bait made from peanut butter and spinosad, the organic pest control called spinosad. Put about an ounce of spinosad into a cup of peanut butter and make little balls or little cakes, and you can set them around. If you put them in a bait station, it's probably best to keep the animals from getting into it. But that works pretty well. And also the little blue packets that are at the restaurants on the tables that people use as an artificial sweetener. It'll kill them.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a problem. I just put a little DE not right on the equipment, but leading up to it.
Okay, that's fine. No problem.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard.
I appreciate the call and the tip. Thanks a lot. It's one of those things where I used to kind of cavalierly dust it into the control equipment, the controllers for different things, because ants would get in there from time to time. And I caused some problems. I caused some shorting out and some problems where some of the equipment had to be changed. So just be a little bit careful with that. But, yeah, what's the name of the blue packet artificial sweetener? Drawing a blank on a couple of things here this morning. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, it's the one you can just dust it out in an area where ants are working or near a fire ant mound or on a fire ant mound, and it'll kill them out. That ought to give you a little bit of pause about using that stuff. Norman in Quinlan. Is that Quinlan, Texas?
Bless you.
Norman, you there?
Bless you on that sneeze, I guess. Am I allergic to you or vice versa?
Well, I didn't sneeze. I'm not sure what you're hearing
there.
What can I do for you?
I thought I heard a sneeze. I'm concerned about our GMO legislation. As I understand, what they're referring to as the DARC Act, in other words, the states cannot require GMO labeling, has passed the House and is going to the Senate.
Yeah, it's been a mess. There's been all kinds of money thrown at trying to preserve this GMO technology on our food.
I've already, written an email to Cornyn, and I will to Cruz, and I recommend everyone else to do the same.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're on our side on that. Let me put you on hold and I'll talk to you.
Not.
I got to take a break here. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Talked to Norman a little bit off the air there about GMOs. He wanted to know where to get information about the science and the details of it. The politicians and a lot of the talk show guys are really on the – they're taking the position that GMO dangers are overblown and there's really – nothing to it, and we shouldn't be worried about it, and it's a beneficial thing, helping to feed the children of the world and all that. All that's a crock. And the details about all that, the dangers of GMOs and the specific dangers, health risks and related kind of things, a lot of it's related to Roundup, the glyphosate, and specific relationships to degenerative diseases of all kinds, including autism in children, is pretty well covered on our website. If you go to the Texas Organic Research Center, we've got a lot of information about GMOs, Roundup, and glyphosate there. And if you go to the library, things are in alphabetical order, and you can find GMO and Roundup information there. And we reference a whole lot of other sources of information for you. So if any of you are, want to learn at all, open-minded about it and on the wrong side, I'd love for you to give it a look and try to be a little bit more open-minded about it. Those of you that already know it's a bad deal, realize that detailed information is available. And you can pass it out, and it's, anything from our website is useful in any way. Go ahead and use it and send it to people in any way, by all means. But the GMO thing, I was talking to somebody that's on our side trying to help keep it from, you know, continuing to grow like it is. And this labeling thing is interesting. Some of the people that are on our side are not all that interested in the GMO labeling being on the food. What they think would be more helpful is for the people that have clean food to label their stuff as not having it is a better way to go, in their opinion. A lot of the things that are trying to go through Congress are, and people that are on our side are trying to get, have the people that have GMOs in their food have to put that on the label, and that's what they're really having trouble getting done. Maybe the other way is going to be easier to get done. The good guys putting the information that it's not there, a better way to go. Let's go to Lois in Oak Cliff next. Hello, Lois.
Hi. I've got some bald cypress balls from a female bald cypress. What can I do to plant them?
You have the cones off the tree. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. What you do to germinate a bald cypress from its seed is you have to soak that seed. You know, a lot of them grow next to water, and so this happens naturally in nature. And so you have to create a similar situation. Soak the seed in water for probably a month or so, a long period of time. And if you can give them some cold at the same time in a refrigerator or whatever, that's going to help speed up the process. And I would also, I think one of the things I wrote in my tree book on the germination of these kinds of trees is to treat with a little bit of acid. Most of the commercial books that talk about seed germination will use sulfuric acid and various kind of dangerous acids. What I recommend is vinegar. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar, and in this case, you could use a harsher, stronger vinegar, I guess. But apple cider vinegar is probably all you need to do. And then giving that a little time, crushing them. In the past, I've had some pretty good luck with as well. So you get this treatment in three ways. One is the acid from apple cider vinegar. Two is the cold from the refrigerator. And then three is the water.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you for your help.
I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
And there's more of that kind of information in my book, The Texas Tree Book, and we have most of it on the website, too. If you just go to bald cypress or Montezuma cypress or any of those, there'll be some propagation information there, too. Let's see who is next up. It's Gary, I believe, in Dallas. Hello, Gary.
Good morning, Howard.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, but I'm having an issue with some horsetail reeds. I have a flower bed that's about 8 feet long, about 1.5 feet wide, and so it's sequestered from the rest of the yard, but I just want to get rid of the horsetail reeds. So what I'm planning to do is cut them down to the ground and then dig out the roots down 2.5, 3 feet, however far they go, and then replace it with all new soil. So my question is, when I get the horsetail reeds completely dug up, is there something I can put on the ground to make sure that if there are any pieces of roots I've missed that will kill them? And secondly, about how deep do you think the roots are? These horsetail reeds are about 3-4 years old.
I don't think that you need to go near that deep, Gary. I think that most of the reproductive part of the horsetail reed will be in the top 3 inches. So if you go down 6 inches or something, I think that's more than enough. You'll be able to see the crown and the reproductive parts. I don't think it'll really come back from the roots that much. It's going to be the underground stems and rhizomes, just like Bermuda grass, that they come back from.
Okay.
So you don't have to go down quite that deep. Now, what you can put down that would kill any horsetail reed from coming back is a problem, because anything that would do that would kill what else you're trying to grow there.
Right.
So I wouldn't do anything except the physical removal and then plant the new plants. And then if it does pop up here and there, you just do physical removal of those little shoots as they come up. Or you can spot spray with vinegar herbicide mixture. You can mix up the vinegar mixture and have it in a little quart spray bottle and just spritz the little shoots as they try to emerge, and it'll kill the young tender sprouts sprouts easily, or you can just pull them out of the ground, either one.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Did you plant the horsetail reed, or did you inherit this or something?
I planted them. Yeah, here again, they're in a planter box, and it's sequestered from the rest of the yard.
Okay, so it's just in the box that we got the problem.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
Well, I have the plant myself at home, but mine are in pots on top of the stone deck. I don't put them in the ground because they do become quite invasive. I like the plant. It's also a herb. It's very high in silica. So it's kind of a fun plant to have around if you do keep it contained. But if you want to plant something else, I understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your help.
You bet. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Let's see where we're going from, well, to Dallas and to talk to Peggy next. Hello, Peggy.
Hello, Howard. I have a question. I've got two if you have time, but my first question is about my oak leaf hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in oak lawn with this clay soil.
Right.
And I have an oak leaf hydrangea that's probably 15, 18 years old. And until last year, after that big freeze, it was doing just fine. And after the big freeze, it got a few branches with really tiny leaves. And I kind of babied it and did some stuff, and it got a little better. But then this year, after all the rains and then all the dryness, nearly every leaf on the hydrangea, they wilt very early, and they're small and pitiful looking.
Well, I've seen that a little bit on some of my oak leaf hydrangeas. I've seen some of the terminal growth be a little off color. I tell you what has helped, and you should try it, is green sand worked in around the base of the plant. Green sand, for some reason, provides some minerals that the plant seems to be having a hard time pulling up. And iron may be one of them, iron and manganese in the green sand. The other thing is, while you're putting that material around the base of the plants, that plant, like a lot of woody plants, has a tendency to come from the growers being too deep in the soil. And sometimes we plant them and we do some mulching and we do some composting, and over a period of time it builds up a little bit more and a little bit more. So going in and taking a brush, and like I was talking to people about trees and roses today, same thing. Brush the soil away from the flare of your oak leaf hydrangea. Just treat it like it's a little tree, and I think you'll see immediate improvement. Well, immediate being the first time it starts putting off any new growth, which may not happen until next year.
Oh, that's interesting. Should I cut back what is not looking great?
I'm going to on mine. I'm going to do a little bit of tip pruning for two reasons. One is I've gotten a little bit too big, and two, there is some discoloration in the foliage. And I think part of it is a little bit of a hangover from having all the huge amount of rain that we had in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have had.
I've lost stuff this year. I lost Nandinas this year. They look so beautiful. Everything looks so beautiful in the spring with all the rain. And then it's been awful through the summer on them.
Well, it was a bad trick on a lot of the plants.
Yeah.
We had so much rain that some of the plants, one, they liked it. But two, when a plant is getting more water than it needs, the root system will decrease in size. It'll kind of slough off some of its roots because it doesn't need them as much. And then when the hot weather comes, the plant is more susceptible to the stress. And that's what's probably happened to the oak leaf hydrangeas.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Sure. And just real quickly, basically yes. What I'm talking about doing there is the sick tree treatment procedure, but using it on a shrub instead of a tree. So all the details are on my website.
Okay. So go ahead with the garret juice,
the whole deal. But the green sand, I would add, make sure you add to it. It's part of the sick tree treatment anyway, but in this case, I'd be sure to add it. Let me talk to you off the air. We've got to take a break, and that way I can get everybody in before I go away. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number for next week probably is 866-444-3478. The website, dirtdoctor.com. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garret Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garret Juice formula. Garret Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garret Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garret Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garret Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I'm putting that, haven't quite finished it, that photograph of the mealybugs on the tree and the solution on Facebook, so check that out, facebook.com/thedirtdoctor. Let's see what Ken's up to in Fort Worth next. Hey, Ken.
Hello and good morning. I've just saw some signs in my neighborhood at Garrett about spraying for the West Nile virus, and I got the inquiry and caught my attention, and I knew years ago Fort Worth wasn't spraying, but I got a hold, finally got a hold of some of the city environmental officials, health department that's over the spraying, and I asked her about, she told her about some of these environmental concerns about the honeybees and about their good friendly bacteria and the ecology of things, and then she told me, well, we spray at nighttime, and then she says there's no honeybees flying at night. And I said, well, how about residues that may be left over? She said, well, the sun takes care of that when he comes up. She made it like sound like something you'd want to put on the icing on your cake. Was she trying to do a sales job on me or what?
Yeah, that's all the talking points that, you know, all the cities are using and everything. What we recommend, Ken, is outlined on the website on dirtdoctor.com, and more tree care and Lambert's we've been working with in Dallas to provide the spray program that we do like, which includes kind of a two-step approach. One is spraying the liquid BTI, which is the bacillus that kills the larvae, you know, so they don't become adult mosquitoes. Works very well. And then the second thing of the plant oils that will actually kill the adults. I don't like to overdo that part of it because it can hurt beneficials too, but at least it's not a neurotoxin like the synthetic pyrethroids that the city is spraying, and that's what they're spraying. Them telling you that it goes away when it's, you know, not a problem, it's night and goes away after it dries and all that is not true. It remains dangerous. It is a neurotoxin. It is especially dangerous for people with allergies and children with asthma. It can even cause those problems in cases. We've got a lot of information on our website about it. Go into the library, go into the Texas Research Center, and all of it's right there for you.
Okay, well, that's good. I kind of figured it wasn't shooting straight. Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts.
Okay, Ken, thanks for calling. And the control of the mosquitoes has really been pretty good, better than I've seen in a long time around our place. So the program that we've come up with seems to be working pretty well. Betty, and nothing's perfect. Mosquitoes never going to go away, but it works as well as anything I've seen so far. Betty in Arlington. Hi, Betty.
Hello, Howard. I just wanted to tell you one thing, that our garlic chives are blooming, and we just have a great amount of bees, just beautiful.
Good news.
And wanted to ask about some plants to put where our shrubs apparently didn't like all the rain and all the hot weather. They died. And so we've taken most of those out, and right now all I want to do is to put some plants that would bloom in the winter, in the shade mostly, and just have some color in there for right now.
Well, there's not a whole lot of things that bloom in the shade. One you might look at is winter honeysuckle. It's a shrub that's not used enough. It has rounder leaves, and it blooms in the late winter, and it's very fragrant and helps to attract the beneficials quite well.
Yeah.
I would definitely put that in the mix. And then just plant some things right now that will bloom now and into a heavy frost as much as possible, and then come back out when the weather gets good again. Things like one of the plants that would be high on my list would be the hummingbird bush, the Anisacanthus, and also look at Abelia. Abelia blooms for as long a period of time as any shrub you can put out. It comes in the full-size form and also in dwarf forms as well, and it's terrific. But I want to go back and give you a tip on your garlic chives before I forget it, too. When they're in flower, that white flower, the best thing for you to do would be to cut them and bring them in and use them as a cut flower in the house. If you let garlic chives go to seed, the seed will shatter. Those black seeds will shatter, and you'll have little bitty garlic chives coming up all over the place.
Oh, yes, I know.
So it's kind of fun to have the flowers brought inside anyway. I don't always do it. Do as I say, not as I do in this case. But that really is a better way to maintain the garlic.
And also, I'm talking about the GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
We have an acquaintance that has a place in California that they grow, and he was sharing with us that they were planting organic corn, and I was so amazed. You know, I thought, you know, oh, wow. And then he let down the boom that the seed are GMO.
But it's going to be organic. Isn't that lovely? Well, we'll talk more about it. For people that want to know more about GMO, once again, go to my website, the library, and in the Texas Organic Research part of the website. That's where you can find the scientific details that are giving you the straight scoop on the stuff. I've enjoyed being with you guys. This is Labor Day weekend. I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend. Leave a little time out there to enjoy your gardens. And, of course, don't forget to feed the birds in the process. Plant some of these plants that we've been talking about today, salvias and ixora and various things that are flowering, Turk's cap if you haven't done that before, and encourage those hummingbirds to come in, encourage the butterflies to come in, encourage the little seed-eating birds to come into your garden, and it'll be even better than it was before. Hope you have a good one. See you in a week.